What is going on, everybody? It's your host, Kendall Callaway, for the Callaway Sports Podcast. Man, we got another big fight. It's fight week. Another super fight. It's been a big year for boxing, and hopefully we end the year as strong as we started. We got another big undisputed clash, man. We got undisputed versus undisputed this time around. It's Canelo Alvarez. It's Jermell Charlo. 168 for all the belts. It's going down, man. So we're going to cover some things today in the episode, man. Some advantages on this side, some advantages on that side. Keys to victory, the fights to watch if you want to, you know, somewhat prepare yourself for what you're going to see. Want to make sure that, you know what I'm saying, your host is telling you the right things. I got everything for you, as well as we're going to see what's going on with the snag that has been hit in the Crawford versus Spence rematch negotiations. We're going to cover that just a little bit as well. Not a whole lot going on, but man, we'll talk about it. But hey, let's get into this episode. Undisputed versus Undisputed, September 30th, this Saturday, is going down. Let's go. All right, y'all, let's get right back into it, man. We're going to start off with the tail of the tape between these two fighters for the super middleweight clash between Saul Canelo Alvarez and Jermell Charlo. We're going to start off with the challenger, Jermell Charlo, who has an outstanding record of 35 victories, one loss, and one draw. His most notable wins will be his rematch against Brian Castaño, which was his last fight, where he became undisputed at 154. You can also go with the rematch against Tony Harrison, where he avenged his only loss. That was a great fight as well. You can go when he became unified, defeating Jason Rosario back in 2020. And a title defense back in 2018 against Austin Trout. Jermell stands at, he stands at 6 foot, has a reach of 74, 33 years old. He's coming out in an orthodox stance, so he's a dominant right-handed fighter. So obviously some physical advantages for Jermell going into this fight. But for the champion, Saul Canelo Alvarez, 59 victories, 2 defeats, and 2 draws. You can go on and on as far as notable wins for Saul. But mine that I would go with his fight against Caleb Plant. A lot of people may not give Canelo a lot of props for that fight, but I do feel skillfully Caleb Plant was a very tough fight for him. But Canelo showed great experience and, you know, confidence in that fight, and that's the fight that made him undisputed at 168 pounds. You can also go with his fight against Miguel Cotto back in 2015, defeating the legend. Canelo showed some great skills, you know. He showed, you know, for me, that's the fight that started to show his improvement from the loss against Floyd Mayweather back in 2013. So I really started seeing Canelo in a different light. I said, man, you know, this guy has way more skills now. You can go with his victory against Triple G in the second fight. Controversial. I felt like it was a draw, but hey, the judges gave it to him, and I gotta give him respect and props for that. So you can also go with that. I would go with his fight against Sergey Kovalev as well. Great fight. Knocked out the bigger guy at 175 pounds. And you know what I'm saying? Like I said, the list can go on and on as far as Canelo's most notable wins. But it's very important that we go over this tail of the tape, because you'll see that, of course, Jermell is coming up 2 weight classes to fight Canelo, but he still has the physical advantages coming to this fight. And stay tuned, man, and you'll see why I pointed this out, because in a way that can play in the favor of Jermell Charlo. But next, man, we're going to go right into the keys to victory for these guys and the things to look out for, much like we did in the Spence versus Crawford breakdown. So first off, man, we're going to start once again with the challenge of Jermell Charlo. The lead hand is going to be very important. If you watch Jermell's fight against Brian Castaño, Tony Harrison, Jason Rosario, he really, really puts a real effort in making sure that the lead hand is there, you know, controlling the guard, putting the jab out there, things of that, you know what I'm saying, things of that nature, making sure, you know, he's keeping his opponent behind his punches. So the lead hand is going to be very important for Jermell, and he's got to be very, very sharp and very smart going into this fight, making sure that he doesn't catch himself out of position, catch himself reaching or anything like that. He's got to make sure that he has a good, strong lead hand, very much so like Dimitri Bivol. The way Bivol fought Canelo, he had a good, strong lead hand, and he made sure that he controlled Canelo in that fight. So lead hand is going to be very important for Jermell, just controlling the distance, controlling the space, controlling the range, as well as throwing the jab. The next will be the jab. Jermell has a very good jab, in my opinion. He's going to need a strong, strong jab in this fight, very much so, because if you watch Canelo's fight against Bivol again, or the fights against Triple G, more importantly, the first and the second fight, Canelo keeps a high guard. He keeps a high guard, which kind of blocks his peripheral vision. But he sometimes doesn't close up that small little hole from keeping a high guard, you know. So when I say high guard, I mean Canelo keeps his hands very high at the eyebrows, at the head level. And if you watch the fight with Triple G, that jab got through there a lot. You know, Canelo can get hit with jabs. So it's very important that Jermell is controlling the lead hand and stopping Canelo in his tracks with the jab. But also, the lead hand can be used against Jermell based off of how Canelo fights. When I watched his fight with Sergey Kovalev, he did a very good job of kind of letting guys throw a jab, catching the jab, you know what I'm saying, and shooting a hard left hook right over the top. And Jermell has had, you know what I'm saying, Jermell has tendencies of kind of leaving himself open at times or whatever he's jabbing, or whenever he's trying to counter, he kind of looks, you know, looks a little out of control, leaves his chin up a little bit. Fighting somebody like Canelo, who's very experienced, has a high fight IQ, is very slick, and Canelo's a great counterpuncher. He's got to make sure that he's staying composed and making sure that the jab is strong and firm and making sure he's not getting countered. So it's very important that, you know, Jermell is in, making sure that he's in control, you know what I'm saying? The lead hand is going to be his key to setting up the rest of his offense. Jermell has a very good 1-2 as well. So it's very important that he's sharp, he's in control in this fight, because Canelo will find holes and find counters to land. Mid-range jab. Jermell cannot throw a mid-range jab. Going back to what I was just saying, man, Canelo is a great counterpuncher. He's going to be looking for that. You know, mostly that's Canelo's style now. You watch younger Canelo, he didn't really plant on that lead foot as much and push forward. He does that now. He's really using that to walk his opponent down, force some shots out of his opponent, and he's countering. He's countering big heavy shots. So, you know, Canelo's gonna be looking to walk Jermell down, hit him with some hard shots, some hard counters. So Jermell has to be sure that he's on his game, hands are up, not getting, you know, wild and out of control. Just be smart and be sharp, man. So next, man, we're gonna go into the advantages for these fighters. So for me, I'm gonna start with the champion this time, Canelo's ring experience. Yes, Canelo is 33. Some may think that Canelo is older than what he is. He's been in the game for so long, he's been at the top for so long. Canelo's experience is gonna play a big factor in this fight, and experience most of the time gets guys victories in the sport of boxing. So that's number one. Canelo's a great ring general, you know what I'm saying? He knows the ins and outs of that square circle, and Jermell has to be sure that he's in control. He's got to make sure, you know what I'm saying, make sure he's stopping Canelo from getting comfortable, and, you know, he's got to go out there and frustrate him. Bivol did it, Floyd did it. Floyd put the blueprint out there. So Jermell has to do the same thing of kind of taking that away from Canelo in this fight, stop him from being a ring general. Next will be his counterpunching. Jermell is a very good counterpuncher as well, but I think Canelo has the advantage there as well. I think he's a great counterpuncher. The left hooks, whether it's to the body or to the head, he sets punches up very, very well. I've always said that Canelo throws punches that makes you go, you know what I'm saying, ooh, that was a hard shot. Like, even if it doesn't land, even if it just smacks the arm or anything like that, he lands shots that's eye-catching, eye-popping shots that's making the judges see, you know what I'm saying, that he's making some type of contact, excuse me. So that's very important going into this fight as well. I do believe that Canelo's a better body puncher. If you go and watch his fight against Caleb, he did a good job of attacking the body in close. He did a good job of attacking the body in the fight with Triple G. So, and I mean, as well as him being a shorter guy, you know what I'm saying? He may want to get up under, you know what I'm saying, Jermell's jab, or, you know, try to land that sweet spot in the liver with the left hook. You know what I'm saying? Canelo does a very good job of throwing those hooks right behind the elbows in the perfect spot. You know, he has very, very good placement on those punches. And lastly, it's going to be his IQ. You know what I'm saying? IQ can kind of tie in with his experience as well. But, I mean, however you want to put it, those are the advantages for, you know what I'm saying, Saul Canelo Alvarez. When I say IQ, I'm going off of how he's setting things up in there. How he's, you know, Canelo doesn't really cut off the ring, but he does good, you know what I'm saying? He moves forward and he makes sure that you're feeling his presence in the ring to the point to where it's like he's in your chest, he's smothering you, and then here comes those hard body shots, those hard power shots. And then before you know it, he didn't have to cut, you know what I'm saying? He didn't have to cut you off to, you know, corner you. Somebody like Caleb Plant, who moved very well, caught himself on the ropes or in the corners a lot, fighting Saul Canelo Alvarez. Not saying that the same thing will be, you know what I'm saying? Not saying that this will happen to Jermell Charlo, but it's something to think about. So next, we're going to go for the advantages for the challenger. The physical advantage, like I said before, the height and the reach. Canelo struggled with somebody like Dimitri Bivol, who's 6 foot as well. Bivol's arms wasn't that long. Jermell has the reach advantage over Canelo. And if he was to fight Dimitri Bivol, he'd have the reach advantage there. So those can play into his favor in this fight. You know, he's got to use his physical attributes to his advantage in this fight. A lot of people don't give Jermell credit for, and I seen this in the second fight with Tony Harrison, and I definitely seen it in the second fight, a little bit in the first fight, and a little bit in the second fight with Brad Castaño. Jermell moves well. He does move well. He does a good job of circling and moving and then planting and then, you know, throwing some real good shots, you know, making sure he's controlling the distance and the range, and he's going to, you know, need that in this fight. Because Canelo doesn't cut his, he doesn't cut his opponents off. He doesn't cut the ring off, similar to like Triple G, Errol Spence Jr. These are guys who are pressure fighters and they're cutting the ring off. They're making sure the guys are staying in front of them. They're cornering them. Canelo doesn't really do that. You know, he will chase you, you know, he will let you circle out. Just got to make sure that you, keeping your hands up. You know, he may try to, you know, slip a few hooks in. Like I said, go back and watch the fight with Floyd. Floyd moved very well. Bivol moved well also. So Jermell has to use that to his advantage. And last, a lot of people may not agree with me on this. I'm not saying that Jermell is the bigger puncher, but Jermell definitely has power that can most likely get the respect of Canelo and will make it kind of, you know, make him hesitant to push forward as much. You know, that's something that you have to do. So Jermell can make, you know what I'm saying, make sure he's landing the jab, the 1-2's coming. He's got to make sure he lands something significant early on that's going to kind of keep Canelo on his toes and keep him off balance. So not saying he's a bigger puncher, but he definitely has power that can catch Canelo off guard and may be like, okay, I can't just walk in on this guy recklessly, or I can't walk in on this guy and just throw hooks. I have to really, really set something up. And that'll make it a chess match out there. That'll make the fight a chess match. And as long as Jermell can keep Canelo thinking and keep him from, you know, you got to stop Canelo in his tracks. You got to stop him in his tracks, and you got to make sure that you're landing something that's going to be meaningful to the judges and to him. Caleb Plant had a very good game plan and a good style in those first 4 to 5 rounds. But I said going into that fight, Caleb Plant doesn't have the power to really stop Canelo from pushing forward. And eventually, as you've seen, Canelo got closer and closer and landed big power shots. You know, ended up hurting him and then stopping him. But also, we're going to go into next. Let's go into the fights to watch. So anybody that want to do film study going into this fight, you know, this is fight week. If you're unfamiliar with, which I highly doubt it, casual or hardcore fan, you know these guys. A lot of people really don't like the Charlo twins. I love them. Love Canelo. But fights to watch to kind of give you some small insight on how this fight would go. Watch both fights, Jermell Charlo versus Brian Castaño. You can catch them on YouTube. I believe Showtime has posted both of them. Watch both of those fights. You kind of get an idea of how Jermell may approach this fight with Saul Canelo Alvarez. Kind of, you know what I'm saying? Kind of think about the things that I've said here today with the movement and the jab and the lead hand and how sometimes he may catch himself out of position. Trying to counter with his chin up, you know what I'm saying? Look for those things because I won't tell you something that I didn't see or anything like that. You know, I study fights for myself. I watch fights, you know what I'm saying, very, very often. So think about that when you're watching the Charlo versus Castaño fights. Next, it'll be Canelo versus GGG2. Watch the second fight with Triple G. You can kind of see where Canelo made that switch from more of kind of moving and boxing and kind of standing his ground to being kind of that pressure fighter attack, you know what I'm saying, stepping to his opponents a little bit more and looking to land big, big power shots and counter with big, big power shots. I truly believe he made that switch in the second fight with Triple G. Once again, watch the fight with Dimitri Bivol. I've referenced to this fight a couple times throughout the first half of this show. So watch that fight. Watch the fight with Sergey Kovalev. He looked good in that fight. I do believe that he was losing that fight up until he got the finish, but kind of give you an outlook on how Canelo can make adjustments as well. And I forgot to mention also with the Charlo and Castaño fight, you can see Jermell being able to make adjustments in there, and it's going to be key as well. It's going to be key for him to do in this fight. Make sure that he make adjustments. Make sure that you give Canelo different looks. And then last will be Charlo versus Harrison, both fights. Watch both of those fights as well. You can kind of see where he made those switches and you know, made changes to fight a better fight. Watch the first fight with Tony Harrison and then watch the second fight. So those are things to look out for in this fight for sure. You know, I truly do feel it's going to be a very, very exciting fight. A very good fight. While a lot of people are kind of not giving Jermell much of a chance, I do believe that styles make fights, and I think Jermell has a very good style that can give Canelo troubles. So y'all be sure to tune in, man. By the pay-per-view, September 30th, this Saturday, is going down. But we'll go into a small break, and then we'll go cover shortly the Crawford versus Spence rematch and why it's on hold. So y'all stay tuned, man. All right, y'all, let's cover the last segment of the show. Why the Crawford versus Spence fight may be on hold. First, I want to, you know what I'm saying, thank y'all for tuning in with another episode of the Callaway Sports Podcast. I appreciate y'all. I appreciate the support. Make sure that you know what I'm saying, share this with your family members. Share this with other fight fans. Post it on your social medias. But yeah, man, let's get right back into it. Crawford versus Spence. Most people know maybe like 2 weeks ago, last week. I may be wrong on that. But Earl did activate his rematch clause for a fight with Terrence Crawford again, following his defeat to Terrence, and back in July. So if you are a fight fan and you pay close attention to negotiations and things like that, like you know what I'm saying, dive in deep on, you know, who's getting what, what's, you know what I'm saying, all that type of stuff. You know what I'm saying, you know exactly what I'm talking about. For those who don't know, I give you a little insight, can't go into depth, but for a lot of the fight fans, they know that the Crawford versus Spence fight took a few years to make, but they finally got it done. And one of the things in their contracts was that it was a rematch clause if the loser wanted to activate that rematch. And in that rematch, the winner would choose the weight. The winner would choose the weight for where the fight takes place. So with Crawford winning the fight, he said that, you know what I'm saying, he wants to fight back at 147. He wants a rematch to take place at 147 pounds. For all you people that's bashing Crawford once again, still, and saying that this is a form or a way of him ducking, why would he duck somebody that he just beat easily? And this is no disrespect to Errol Spence Jr. I love EJ. I've been a fan of both of them for a very long time, as I stated in the preview for their fight. Y'all gotta stop that, man. Y'all gotta stop that. This man in no way, shape, or form is ducking Errol Spence Jr. How can he duck a man he signed to fight and beat to become undisputed at 147 pounds? Y'all can't be mad at him, you know what I'm saying, for making his choice. If I'm Earl, I wouldn't have given up my leverage, that much leverage, if I were to lose a fight, especially if you knew that you probably, you know what I'm saying, you can make 147, but it's not easy to make 147 pounds. I wouldn't have gave, you know what I'm saying, I wouldn't have given that up. But if that's something that, you know what I'm saying, Bud asks, man, kudos to Earl Spence regardless, man, you know what I'm saying? Kudos to Earl for doing his part and making this fight happen, and Bud doing the same. But in a way, this could be a blessing in disguise for EJ as well. Offer one immediately after the fight, when, you know, Earl said, you know, they definitely got to run it back, and he wanted to run it back before the end of the year. I was like, nah, I don't think that's smart. Just from a standpoint of, I pretty much told a lot of people it's a skill gap between Earl and Bud, and it's in the favor of Terrence Bud Crawford. I don't think Earl should rush into a rematch with Terrence. I know his pride may be in the way, but don't, you know what I'm saying, don't let your pride lead you into, you know what I'm saying, potentially, I gotta be honest, man, another beating. You know what I'm saying? I think Earl, you know what I'm saying, has been a man of his word. He's a dog. He'll go out there and fight anybody. You know what I'm saying? He doesn't take tune-ups. And I'm not saying Earl should take a tune-up, but I think Earl should take another fight. You know what I'm saying? Maybe Bud will give you a rematch on down the line at 154 pounds. So, for those who don't know, I do follow both on social media, and not too long after the fight, Earl had put changed his bio on Instagram from 147 pound to 154. So obviously he wants to fight at 154 pounds, may not be able to make 147 comfortably. So if I'm Earl, make, you know what I'm saying, take the rest of the year off, maybe early 2024, you know what I'm saying, fight somebody else. I mean, you know, you've already expressed a desire to move up, and this is why the fight is on hold. Maybe, you know, I haven't heard anything about Earl saying no or not. I mean, Bud just put out there like, hey, okay, you want the rematch? It's going to have to be at 147 pounds. That's it. The only way that fight does not happen, Bud has said that Earl has to put in writing that he cannot make 147 anymore. And if that's the case, then so be it. I do believe Bud is a man of his word to say, okay, if you can't make 147 truthfully, because there's no bad blood between the fighters, okay, we can do it at 154 pounds. So, therefore, the fight is on hold from my understanding right now. So, Earl wanting to fight it in December may not happen. unless he just says, okay, you want to do the 147 again, we can do that. And we'll just see. So be on the lookout for that for the next couple of weeks. We'll see what goes on between Spence and Crawford. But that, I know some people have said at 154 or a rematch, Earl will be better prepared, Earl will be different. So that's a question. Will a rematch be different? I don't believe so. Truthfully, I don't believe so. I think Earl will be more prepared for a fight. I think it'll be much, I wouldn't say much, I think it'll be more competitive than it was in the first fight. But I don't think it, I truthfully don't think it'll be that much different. Because of the skill gap, man, because it's much of a skill gap. And also, I wouldn't put so much blame on Earl for that fight. You got to put some blame on Derrick James as a trainer. Because I don't believe he gave Earl good advice on how to, you know what I'm saying? It didn't look like they had a plan B in that fight at all. So, I don't think the rematch would be that much different. I truthfully don't, because it is a skill gap, and Bud is pretty much very much... I mean, that training camp that Bud went through, he prepared for Errol Spence. I think Errol Spence and Derrick James is prepared for a fight. You know, thinking that physically they'll be able to dominate Bud with their advantages physically and their boxing fundamentals. But Bud is a special talent, and you just don't beat a special talent like that. You got to have a backup for a backup, you know. So, I don't think a rematch would be that much different. I do think Earl should take a little bit of time off, take a fight in between, and then try to revisit a rematch. You know, who's to say? You know, I think, personally, I think Earl should take a fight at 154 pounds. Go ahead and move up. Move up to 154. Fight some of these guys at 154. Get your legs back up under you. Maybe fight somebody who brings a Terrence Crawford type style. I for one would recommend him fight Brian Castaño just to get a win under his belt. By no means is Brian Castaño a easy fight. Obviously he gave Jermell two tough fights back to back. But they also have history, you know. Derrick James has prepared one of his fighters to fight Brian Castaño. Why not prepare another one to fight him? I think Earl will have good success in that fight. But the history that they have, Brian beat Earl in the amateurs. So I think that's a good welcome to 154 type of fight. Also, you know what I'm saying? Even if it takes two fights before you fight Terrence again, fight the winner of Danny Garcia versus Arizona De Lara. Take that fight, you know. And then just go from there. You know, I don't think an immediate rematch is in the best interest of Errol Spence right now. And, you know what I'm saying, kind of see what Terrence Crawford may want to do. You know what I'm saying? Just make sure that you get him before he step away from the game. You know, let Bud do what he want right now. Just focus on you. Focus on getting your legs back up under you. Focus on getting back healthy. Take a fight in between, maybe two. And then try and revisit the fight with Terrence Bud Crawford. That'll be my advice, you know, for Earl in his camp. And then maybe we see that real 50-50 back and forth competitive fight between him and Terrence, you know. I just don't think immediate rematch is in the best interest. But we shall see, man. We're in the month of September. We'll soon be in October. I do believe we got Devin Haney versus Regis Progress coming up as well. We got Shakur versus Edwin De Los Santos in November. So we got a few more big fights. Hopefully, I thought we was getting Ryan at the end of the year, but we're most likely Ryan to start 2024. So hopefully we get one more big fight, you know, one more real big fight to end the year. I'm hoping it'll be Wilder versus Joshua or something like that. But we'll see, man. I'm hoping that this undisputed fight between Jermell and Canelo isn't the last big fight that we get, you know, the last super fight that we get. But it's one that I've been looking forward to. I was surprised when Jermell got the call and, you know, he signed because I thought it was going to be Jermall, you know, Big Charlo, his big brother. But Jermell is getting the fight. He's coming up 2 weight classes to take on a pound-for-pound great, one of the greatest of all time, Canelo Alvarez. So it's going to be one to, you know what I'm saying, it's going to be one to actually tune into. I think it's going to be an exciting fight. They got some good fights on the card. You know what I'm saying? They got some good fights on the undercard. I do believe Erickson Lubin is on the undercard with fighting Jesus Ramos. So if you're not familiar with those guys, get familiar with them. They got a good card. I think it's going to be action-packed from the first fight to the last. So y'all tune in September 30th, man. Y'all make sure, man, y'all drop some questions, drop your predictions, do all that type of stuff, man. Reach out to me on my social medias if you want to talk about boxing. The Kendall Calloway on Instagram. I am King Calloway on Twitter. Man, reach out to me, you know. But let me know in the comments. I'll leave a little, I do believe it's a question section if you listen on Spotify or anything like that, to where you can leave questions and things like that, leave comments, all of that type of good stuff. I'll leave a poll up on there. Same way I did for the Spence versus Crawford fight, man. Y'all vote. Let me know who y'all picking for this fight. Are y'all taking the undisputed super middleweight world champion Canelo Alvarez, or y'all taking the undisputed champion at 154 pounds, Jermell Charlo, man? But I want to appreciate y'all. I really do, for tuning in to another episode. Make sure y'all share this, man. Send it to your people. Send it to the boxing fans. Send it to the casuals, the hardcores. Boxing has had a great year. I do believe boxing is back. We're getting all these big fights. Boxing is back, man. But y'all tune in for another episode of the Callaway Sports Podcast. Coming to you soon. Appreciate y'all. I'm out.